The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on 100.2 FM, Freeview 277 and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin. I've had a series of tweets from the lovely Sarah Marsh Collins. And Sarah has gone to the hospital where her dad is, and she's gone to speak to the medical people there. And I sent her a goodwill message, and she says, "Thanks, Paul. I'm in situ next to his bed. I'm waiting to pounce. It would be an extra special bonus if the doctor was dishy." She said, "But a good grilling is in order." And then she's tweeted again. She says, "I'm now tuned in to Jules and Paul. Great to have something cheerful to listen to whilst waiting around in the hospital." So we're now playing live in the hospital.
Which hospital is
entirely sure, but she's based in Bexley, so it'll be one of those South London hospitals, I imagine. Probably St Mary's Hospital at St Mary's Cray.
And also possibly. One of her dogs wasn't very well either.
She can't take them to the hospital.
No, but take it. So it's very, very...
What?
Suspected cannabis ingestion, her dog. Walking round and round in circles, totally spaced out, salivating like mad. So he probably picked it up in the woods, apparently.
Blimey.
It's well known as a recreation drug spot.
Right.
Where I live, we've got a skate park in Tankerton. It's Swalecliff End. And honestly, the skunk that the skaters have...
Do you go over there every day to check?
I have a little sniff.
Yeah.
But it's so strong, you know, like...
Talking of strong... Who made that?
What?
That.
Oh, me. Is it too strong?
Good grief, woman. What do you do? Use two tablespoonfuls of coffee?
You know what it was? I was chatting to Joanna out of the
guest. You were waffling, weren't you?
I might have put two in by mistake.
Two? Is that all?
It does look a bit black, I'll have to admit.
That'll keep me awake for a week.
But that's good. You'll race round and do your gardening and, you know, whatever you need to
do. I'll be like a dog.
What was I going to say?
I've no idea.
I gave her the number of my mum's herbalist. So my mum's herbalist, I met this lady on Twitter, her name's Fiona, and she lives in Seasalter. And she was a nurse for 35 years, and she said to me that she didn't like what she was seeing with the medication that was being dished out. So she was disillusioned. And she did a four-year herbalist study, and my mother went to see her. She was very, very impressed. 2.5 hours she spent with my mum. And she went into her little chamber and she said she had all these glass jars.
She's a witch.
Yeah.
She's a witch.
And my mum's come away with all these little tinctures.
She's a witch.
And actually, I'm drinking dandelion tea at the moment.
She's a witch.
So I don't really like it, I have to say, but I force it down. And I've managed to find in my garden when I mowed the lawn a few dandelions growing that I've left that the dog hasn't weed on.
I was going to say, you need to sniff them first,
exactly.
Don't you, just in case.
But it's an area where she can't really get to, so I'm going to eat those tonight.
Lovely.
They're good for the bees as well. We should be leaving dandelions
for
the bees.
Yeah, I have. And my new husband said, "Why did you leave that clump, those daisies and that big weed?" I said, you know, and the nettles.
Weed.
because.
Obelob.
Or slobberjob.
Oolob.
Slobberjob.
Nobody knows what on earth we're talking about.
Unless Boom Radio's listening.
Yeah, yeah.
Then they would.
Yeah.
My new husband watched our video as well. So for those of you
who
don't
know. We need to
talk
about that. Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, we had the lovely Natalie Benegs, a little French lady, very chic, came in. She's an old friend. She's Kent Creative Arts, based in Faversham. And she came in and videoed us. And we didn't really prep, did we? We just did it.
Yeah.
And she was amazing. Mm. And so that video is now live on YouTube, and you can find it under...
Kent Creative.
Kent Creative.
If you go into YouTube and search Kent Creative, you will see us there in all of our glory, partly in black and white and partly in colour.
And please like it and please share it, because Natalie did it out of the goodness of her heart. Mm. So it would be good to give her a spur.
She's doing a series of videos on creatives in Kent, but she started with us as practice, really, because we're not very creative, are we?
No, but I'm quite creative. I think you're creative in different ways. Well, I think we are creative in different ways. We're not artists. We don't bring in our easels.
Most of the video was us arguing.
Yeah. Well, my new husband watched it in the airport in Nigeria.
As you would.
As you would, while he was tucking into it, because he was business class, made me cross.
What was
business
he tucking class. Into?
Oh, he had everything. He had beef this and champagne here and, right, and he had right. a flat bed and all that lying. So he watched it then and he said that if we cut off a bit of it, you know, we edit it, and he said he's happy to tell you the bit that he thought was best and we could send it to, you know, Boom Radio and places.
Right, okay, and we've had an update from Sarah. She said, Dad's at Queen Elizabeth Hospital in Woolwich. Mum should be at Queen Mary's tomorrow for an IOP, but she's trying to get out of it.
Oh, I'm sure that she needs some support, Sarah. We've got her dog ill, her mum ill, and her dad ill.
Yeah.
That's a lot going on.
That is too much going on. So if you do need some support, do reach out to us. I hate saying reach out. It's very American.
Well, don't say it then.
But what I was going to say was...
It's awesome. You hate that as well,
I
don't
know,
you?
I do really hate it. Unless you're going up in a rocket, and as Elon Musk proves, that's not so easy, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
What was I saying before that?
I've no idea.
About our video. Oh, yeah, because you didn't answer. So my new husband said he'll as an ex-Bloomberg editor,
yeah,
he's happy to look at the bits that he thinks are the most punchy.
Yeah.
And send you the bits for you to clip out, to send to Boom Radio and Greatest Hits.
Lovely. Okay, I shall look forward to that.
He said he'll do it, and I'll make him. But it's his birthday this weekend.
Yeah. I think there's also something we need to do to shift the perception that people aren't creative. Because
good
there's,
one.
There's
come close to the mic and tell us.
We've become obsessed with innovation.
Mm.
And if you go back and look at the work of, for instance, Professor Curtin, what he says is that there's a continuum of creativity.
Absolutely.
Ranging from innovation through to adaptation.
Mm.
So adaptation is kind of the light bulb Edison type stuff, where you keep tweak until it works. And innovation is Da Vinci drawing a helicopter when we couldn't conceive of such a thing.
Yeah.
So the fact that we can actually, we are all creative, but in different ways, and yet we seem to be obsessed with innovation and discount adaptation, and yet it's the adaptation.
I think you're absolutely right. I think the other end of that spectrum is we tend to put creative people down as always being artists or people that are clever at drawing or something like that. But you're right, there's a whole continuum of different skills that lead to different types of creativity. It's not just in terms of making things and inventing things and developing things, it's also in the ability to tell stories or entertain people. Absolutely. Or all kinds of things. Yeah.
Joanna, who was this professor?
Professor Curtin, K-I-R-T-O-N.
He needs to pull himself together.
Very old theory, but I love it still because I think it beautifully describes how we are different in the ways that we are creative. Mm. So
it's true, though, isn't it? Because, you know, Paul and I don't come in with our easels and our oil paints and, you know, sketch and stuff. But we're creative in different ways. And I think it shows that, you know, even cooking at home, I very rarely follow a recipe. I'm not really a sort of a cake baker. I find that really difficult because it's exactly 6 ounces and whatever. And I used to master that by using a tablespoon. I knew a heat tablespoon was an ounce. Now everything's in blimmin', whatever it's in, millimetres and God
grams
knows what.
And things, yeah.
I don't know how to do that, so I've just stopped doing cakes. But I can do amazing casseroles and things where I just lob stuff in and they're great, and that's creative,
isn't
it?
It is, absolutely.
And I actually don't, and people say to me, oh, what's the recipe? And I go, well, I just sort of made it up, really.
Mm.
So as you say, so many different ways of being creative.
I like the thought of just chucking in casseroles. You know, I'm a great history buff, and I read an awful lot of ancient history. And in Northern Europe, for most of our history, we lived on a thing called pottage.
Pottage.
Yes. Pottage, yeah.
Yeah, and what was that?
And pottage is a running casserole that you leave for months. So basically, you just top it up. You either put some more water in or chuck in a few more vegetables, and you just keep boiling it. You just leave it running, and you eventually eat it, and then it replenishes itself.
That is like the Vietnamese pho, in a way.
Yeah.
That they eat for breakfast, dinner, and things.
Yeah.
It's interesting, because I do a chicken soup, as you know, every week. So I have a roast chicken, which is expensive because it's organic. It's just gone up to like £19. It's crazy. But we get 3 meals out of it. So, you know, we'll do a roast, and then we'll do... Tonight we've got cold chicken with something or other, and then I'll make a soup from the carcass. And then I had some frozen chicken stuff, and I took it out when my new husband was in, wherever he was, Nigeria. And I never got round to eating it, so it's still rotting in my fridge in a frozen bag, a freezer bag, where it's defrosted for 2 days, but it was last Wednesday. So now I'm thinking...
Good luck with that.
I ought to throw it away.
Good luck with that. Yeah.
And when it's like that, chunky soup, I'll have to put it down my toilet. That's the only way to do it,
yes.
I think. You can't put that in the caddy. It's too liquid. Isn't it sad, though, when you waste? Because I got it out on, I think, Tuesday night, thinking I'll have it after bunker.
And then didn't.
Then I ate half a crab and had some vongole. What's vongole in English?
Clams,
cockles.
Isn't it?
Cockles,
I think. Are they?
Anybody Italian, just...
Yes, let us know.
Vongole. So I had some, cockles. When he was away, I didn't cook once. It was great. I had dressed crab, cockles, little bit of this, little bit of that.
I thought you were going to say you had takeaways or something.
No, I just didn't cook at all. It was great. Uh-huh. It's amazing. You can go through a whole week without cooking. Plus, of course, I went to the Savoy Grill.
Yeah. Anyway, do you know what?
And had a kebab.
Do you know what?
Should we talk to
you? I'm really, really bored of listening to you.
Are you?
Yeah. And I'm really, really, really keen.
About my fish?
And I'm really, really keen to hear from Joanna, because she has made the effort to come in as a guest. So we think, I think we ought to let her, have
she's
a little...
come all the way from the upper floor.
She has, from the floor above us where her office is based.
When our other guests decided they were going to bunk off.
Anyway, listen, it's a pleasure to welcome back onto the show Joanna Rawburn of Flourishing Introverts. Joanna, thank you so much for coming back onto the show. It was quite some time ago when you were last on, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. Quite a while ago. So. Yeah.
And we thought it'd be really nice to get you back, because you're an interesting and fascinating person. And a bit like the conversation we were just having about creativity, introversion is also one of those things that has a continuum and also has a perception amongst some people that isn't entirely right. So why don't you kick off by telling us a little bit about Joanna?
Yeah.
And then we'll talk about Flourishing Introverts.
Brilliant. So... I've known from an early age that I was different, but I didn't know how I was different. I would take myself to bed early to read. I wouldn't be one who was out partying ridiculously. Or if I was, I'd reach that point where it's like, I've got to go home now. All of a sudden, I'd hit that point. And it wasn't until my 30s that I found out that what made me different was my introversion.
It
was when I was on Women in Leadership program with Cranfield, I think it was. And we did the standard Myers-Briggs type indicator, which is how most people find out whether they're an introvert or an extrovert or identify as such. And it's not held in high regard, but most of the introverts I know who've completed that say reading the little paragraph that comes along with your results is like, for the first time, somebody has seen you, somebody has recognised who you are. Wow. So for me, it was that moment of, so there are other people like me. I'm not weird. I'm not broken. I don't need fixing. This is kind of how I'm different to other people. Unfortunately, then what happened was I looked across at the other more successful people that I was working with. I've been a trainer, coach and a facilitator since 1987. I looked across at the other people and realized that the difference between me and them was that they were all extroverts.
Right.
So I then pretended to be more extroverted for nearly two decades, actually, until I hit introvert burnout. Right. And that's the point at which I thought something has to change. And if it has to change for me, what about the other 50% of the population who identify as an introvert? Isn't it time that they can stop pretending as well?
Mm.
And that's when Flourishing Introverts was born.
It's interesting, isn't it? Funnily enough, I'll try and keep this short. We read a thing about the 30-30 program I'm doing in schools.
Yeah.
A school called Valley Park in Maidstone has asked me to do a 30-30 there. Well, Valley Park is the latest iteration of the school I actually went to a long, long time ago, Ventus Boys. And I started talking to the teachers there about coming and doing this 30-30, and I thought, do you know what? I ought to kind of refresh my memory about some of the things that happened when I was at school there. So I joined the alumni group on Facebook, right? And I found my year group and I went, hello, it's me. Every single person there went, don't remember you.
Really?
Yeah.
And you're larger than life.
No, I'm not. I'm an introvert. And that's the thing. And every single person, 30 kids in my class, they weren't all on there, but about 20 of them were on there. And every single one went, oh, I don't remember you.
Yeah.
And one of them, I actually was at primary school with as well.
You had 15 years almost.
Yeah. Yeah. And he went, no, don't remember.
And that's one of the big misconceptions, and there are still far too many of them, which is that we think we can tell what people are by their behaviour.
Wouldn't you? I mean, me, obviously you're different because you're in the business, but I would have said Paul is totally an extrovert.
We can turn on extrovert behaviours, But there'll come a point at which both Paul and I will go, that's it, I'm off home now.
Yeah.
Either just for complete quiet time, a walk, or as my husband and I often joke about, some companionable silence. You know, we can sit together and read or watch telly or even go for a walk and not say anything to each other.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, I get to a point a lot of days where I actually get quite upset, because all I want to do is go and, I've got a study, all I want to do is go and sit in my study and read a book, and I'm just fed up with answering emails, answering tweets, arguing with idiots, and I just go, I need to just go and sit on my own and read my book. That's all I want to do. Will everybody please leave me alone?
And the difference, of course, is that when extroverts feel their batteries drain, what they need to do is get into social interaction. They need to go somewhere busy. They need to go to the bar, or they need to get in with Jules and kind of, you know, go for a liquid lunch with Jules. And that's how they recharge. So the more we can help people understand that what makes us different is where we get our energy from and what drains us, then we can start to value the differences that people bring and be more tolerant and accepting of those differences.
But going back to when you were a child, and you said at the beginning of the interview that you realised that you were different, or you felt different because you would go to bed and read and stuff. So how did you cope with that as a child? I mean, did you have lots of friends that were similar, or how did you cope with those feelings?
Well, like many introverts, I didn't actually have many friends. I would have kind of two or three quite close friends.
Which is quite normal, I think.
Well, lots of more extroverted kids will have a bigger circle of acquaintances. They may not necessarily call them friends, but, you know, they're the ones who are likely to get invited to the party of everyone in the class.
Yeah.
Whereas the introverts, if they have a party, it'll be like their three closest friends.
Yeah.
So it's quite different. And so for a long time, I did grow up thinking that there was something wrong with me, and I did face ridicule. I mean, both my parents were teachers, but I don't know how they coped with probably reports from the teachers saying, we're a bit worried about your Joanna. You know, she doesn't mix with people during the breaks. She sits quietly on her own. And these days, the same thing happens in schools, and we think the children aren't socialised effectively.
Yeah.
When actually what we need to do is understand that they're probably desperately hanging on to the little bit of charge they've got in their battery, ready for the next class.
Right. Yeah. It's very true. So what I want to explore, if we may, Joanna, is Flourishing Introverts as an organisation, what it is you do and how you do it. And I might have got it wrong. You've got an event taking place fairly soon as well, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that in a minute as well.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. So through Flourishing Introverts, I have a kind of a dual track approach, if you like. One of the things I do is that I work with organisations and conduct an audit to help them understand where the extroversion bias exists in their business, because so many ordinary, everyday practices and processes in organisations are biased towards the extrovert ideal.
Yeah.
From recruitment, through interviewing, through to assessment centres, through meetings that are just kind of called on the cusp without any preparation.
Yeah.
So many things are really geared up for those who identify as an extrovert. So I'll go in with an organisation, do an audit, help them understand where the bias is, and then through some consulting and possibly training, help them reduce, you know, it's really hard to get rid of the bias altogether, because as humans we are biased, but we need to at least raise awareness of that. So that's one track of the business, and the other track of the business is that I work with introverts, typically women, mid-career, so not new starters, but there are all sorts of people come to work with me, and it's about helping them really own their introversion without embarrassment, without fear of ridicule. So one of the things that I do is help them really get a sense of psychological safety so that they know they can be themselves, they can show up as themselves. And one of the biggest wins for them is helping them to identify their true strengths and skills and be able to articulate them positively. So, you know, at interview, for instance, one of the questions that's often asked is about what role you play in a team.
Right.
And sadly, there are interview coaches out there who'll coach people in how to respond to questions like that as though they're an extrovert. And then I've seen the result of that in that the individual gets the job, they turn up at work, and after a few days, management are scratching their head saying, who's this? This isn't who we recruited at the interview. So one of the things that I'll help people do, for instance, is say, actually, I take a very valuable part in a team, but it might not be what you'd naturally expect, because I won't be the person who speaks the most, but feedback from people have said that that space allows me to notice what's not being said, to summarise, to assimilate ideas, and actually really add value to the team. So the role I fulfil is different to many others, but no less valuable for that.
Okay. We've had a few tweets while you're talking.
Oh, brilliant.
Nurse Liz, who's our listener from Philadelphia. Pennsylvania. On the East Coast of America. She says, I'm an introvert too, and I have had very similar experiences. Absolutely. Yeah. And Natalie Bonet, Kent Creative.
Oh, she's listening.
Does Joanna know the book The Element by Ken Robinson?
No, well, I haven't come across that, but if it's the same Ken Robinson who did the TED Talk, it's absolutely beautiful. So I'll follow that up. So thank you. Was that Natalie you said?
Yeah, it's Kent Creative is her Twitter handle.
Yeah.
She's saying The Element by Ken Robinson is really interesting in understanding some of what you're talking about in terms of introversion. So thank you for that, Natalie.
Yeah, thank you. The book that most of us refer to is Susan Cain's book Quiet, and then there are other books that have been written about it. Mm. I feel there's a book in me somewhere, but I haven't quite birthed it yet. So,
okay.
How would you go about writing a book? Are you a writer by hand or laptop, or would you
pen?
Write by hand. So I'm very kinesthetic, and for me, typing doesn't stick and it doesn't flow in the same way that handwriting does. Mm. So mine would be longhand, and then I'd have to scan it in or something.
Right.
So yeah.
It's interesting that you say that, because when my spelling is excellent, but when I'm on a computer, my spelling is rubbish.
So I can't see the shape of the words in the same way.
There's something that happens with the brain when you're typing.
I really dislike writing. I'm just not a writer at all. I'm a reader, not a writer. But many years ago, I used to write a regular column for a magazine on career aspects in IT, and I found that incredibly difficult because I didn't like doing it. But I tried one of the early voice recognition systems, and that was hilarious. with a Cockney accent in the early days of it was a program called Dragon.
I used that as well.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Sometimes the output, because it was so funny, was better than what I'd written anyway. So you've got an event coming up soon, I do understand, Joanna.
So this is by now for the fast action takers, because we are meeting together at Green Farm Spa, which is fairly local to Ashford here. It's in Shaddockshurst.
Right.
And it's for women in leadership, and it's space, because one of the things that we know through the pandemic is that people reassessed what their lives are about. They reassessed what was important to them. Mm. They kind of reprioritized. And then we've kind of just slipped back into that old way of working. And many of the women that we're talking to through coaching, training, whatever, are saying, I don't know what happened, but all those great ideas and my good intentions through the pandemic have now just slipped away because I've fallen back into the old ways of doing things.
Old patterns.
Yeah. So we've got this 4-day retreat from the 11th to the 14th of May. And there are some extraordinary things that we've got planned. So we're having 2 sound baths. We've got yoga going on. There's wild swimming if people want, and very creative processes. But to give people space to really think about, what is it I want from life? Mm. What kind of leader do I really want to be for this next period of my life?
Mm.
And so it's such a valuable opportunity. And if people want to know more about it, we have 1 space left.
Ah.
So you can email me at joanna@flourishingintroverts.com, and we can set up a quick call and you can find out about it. But, you know, we would love to fill that last place, but it is for fast action takers now.
Right, okay. So get in there quick.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's a bit like making a doctor's appointment at 8 o'clock, isn't it? If you're not there at 7:59:30, you've got no chance.
Absolutely.
So get in there if you want that last space. Natalie has replied as well. Yes, it is the Ken Robinson that was brilliant on TED, as Joanna said. Yeah. So,
fantastic.
You both know the person.
He was a huge loss when he died, huge loss, because he really spoke about where the failings are in education.
Yeah.
And it was such a powerful talk.
So what kind of things would you say are failing in education for an introvert?
So the whole kind of having to put your hand up and cry out an answer, because many introverts are, they typically, we have what we refer to as a think communication process. Somebody asks us a question. We genuinely want to think about it to make sure that our answer is exactly what we mean, what we intend. And that's different to the extrovert communication process, which tends to be say, think, say. So an extrovert will start answering, not really know what they're going to say, make sense of it all the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Ring any bells, Jules?
Yes.
Yeah, talk dribble until it clears a bit in their head.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a dear friend who says, I speak in order to understand what I'm thinking. And that's exactly the extrovert way of communicating. So quite often in education, introverts don't get the opportunity to have their say. And there's also something we notice that happens quite often, which is if it's already been said, introverts won't take the airtime to repeat it. They don't see it as necessary. So therefore, they're, as I was classed at one stage, as a low responder and a poor communicator. And neither of those things is true.
No.
But it's about people not understanding our communication process. So. Yeah. When I did my TEDx talk in 2019, my niece was there, who is a teacher of the top level in junior school, whatever year age that is, I'm not sure.
Year six.
Yeah. And one of the things that she went away and did was put in place a table where people could go to if they wanted to work quietly. And so it wasn't a punishment table. You weren't banished to the quiet table. But if the person next to you was annoying you or were too, you know, too noisy, then you could take yourself to work at the quiet table.
Yeah.
Because most introverts struggle with a busy, noisy, loud environment, open plan offices, all that sort of stuff. And the same is true in the classroom. One of the things we know is that introverts are already overstimulated mentally, so we don't need that other stimulation. It tips us over the edge. So we need that quiet space to work in.
It's generally true about our education system that it is fairly much geared in one way, isn't it, really?
Absolutely.
And it really doesn't take much notice of any individual person's talents, desires, ways of learning, methods of learning or anything else.
No.
You're either going to have it or you're not.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, for me, talking about my experiences at school, which were none, I from the moment I walked into the school until the moment I finally escaped, I paid no attention to what was going on. It didn't mean anything to me. I wasn't remotely interested in anything they were telling me. It just didn't. It wasn't me,
and it didn't work for you.
It just didn't work for me, and I mean, of course, you also get stupidity to cuts in with things like this. When I was really tiny, before I went to school, my mum taught me to read.
Yeah,
and I've always been a massive reader. When I went to primary school, we had a series of books called Blue Book One, Blue Book Two, Green Book One, Green Book Two. Yeah, and it was a little book that you read with little stories in, and at the end there was a comprehension test, and once you passed it, you moved on to the next one. I read the whole series by the time I was in year three, so the only thing they could think of to do was to start again. Yeah, by the time I left primary school to go to secondary school, I was back at book one for the fourth time. Well, of course, when they passed the details over, they went, he's on book one. So I got there and they'd gone, remedial reading classes, and I had to do all these remedial reading. I'm just thinking, you're idiots, all of you.
Nonsense.
Yeah. Just silly stuff like that.
People don't understand.
No, to be fair, it's difficult to draw up a curriculum for multifaceted people. But really, we need to start thinking about it, in my opinion.
And I think we are getting better about it because, you know, we are much quicker now to identify some of the SPLDs, so autism, Asperger's, dyslexia, dyspraxia, dyscalculia, all of those things. So I think the education system is better at dealing with neurodiversity, and that needs to now cascade through on into the workplace. So we need to make workplaces accessible and inclusive for the neurodiverse.
Yeah, absolutely. It's odd, isn't it, how, you know, just once upon a time we had one classification, which was thick. I mean, you're right, things are moving. We're probably glacially slow, but they are moving, and they're moving in generally the right direction.
And it's why I'm on this mission to shift the extroversion bias. And I know I can't do it on my own. I probably won't do it in my lifetime.
Yeah.
But this is my legacy work, because for me, this is important enough now that, you know, we have to keep talking about it. We have to keep making sure that people are aware of it, that people recognize that, you know, the quiet person who's their colleague who doesn't join them after work for drinks, they're not antisocial, they're not shy, they're not depressed, they're not loners. They just need to get home to recharge. So let's stop, you know.
It's interesting as well, isn't it? There are some quite famous introverts, like Bill Wyman from Rolling Stones, for instance, the bass player of the Rolling Stones. Apocryphally, he used to play most of the time when he's back to the audience. Stand at the back of the stage with his back to the audience, because he just didn't want to interact with anyone, you know. And you also find a lot of actors and musicians are in fact quite introverted. They're outgoing when they're in a different character. So, you know, their acting is a way of being someone that they're not, if you see what I mean.
And we were talking about creatives earlier in the show. Lots of creatives are introverts. J.K. Rowling, introvert, and you can start to imagine actually where all of that creativity from her head poured out onto the page, because, you know, we tend to be more inwardly focused.
Absolutely.
And leaders, Barack Obama, Bill Gates, list goes on and on.
A fascinating thing that you're doing, Joanna, and helping people to understand themselves as much as anything else, and to formulate strategies and goals for allowing them to be themselves, I think is a good way of putting it. Because, you know, so often society drives us in ways that we don't want to be driven, really, and therefore you either conform or drop out and just put up with the fact that you're thick, stupid, boring, dull.
I'm always saying this to my kids, the way that everybody wears black or navy, or, you know, I love colour, and this for me is quite subdued. And I often say that we're like sheep, we follow, we conform. And wouldn't it be great if you could get into the schools early, you know, for junior school, for example, or even primary school, and just let teachers know about this a little bit?
I've had a couple of articles published on the Inside Government's Education Hub about exactly that thing.
Well done.
Yeah, and I shall keep writing articles and keep getting them published, keep pushing them around. So
it might pay you to join us on one of our 30-30 events.
I was thinking that, actually.
And do a little talk, because then the teachers and the students will hear what you've got to say and may take you up on that.
It's very interesting. I'm trying to think back to when I was at school now and thinking of some introverts and some, you know, and we certainly had a rough comp. We certainly had a lot of very rude and noisy kids.
Well, you were from Essex.
It's a natural
trait. But it's interesting, isn't it, that what you were saying about, you know, conforming. There's been so many psychological experiments where they set you up and you've got one or two people that haven't been told, and everybody else has been told to say X, Y, and Z. And even though you know unequivocally that it's wrong, you just don't want to stand out by going against the crowd, you know. So they all get up and they go, 2 + 2 = 5, you know. And once the 20th person said that, you think, but it's not, it's 4. But it must be me, I must be mad, I must be missing something. So when you stand up and they go, what's 2 + 2? You go, oh, 5.
Well, look what's happening now with certain vaccine things.
Well, it doesn't matter what you talk about. You know, there's so many things in life.
That get repeated.
Yeah, and social media is a great one for repeating myths, and the amount of things that you see, and the amount of arguments I have about the same thing over and over and over again, because people see it on social media, think it's true, and will just repeat it.
Don't do their due diligence.
Yeah, they don't research anything. They don't go, is this true or not? Because they just want it to be true. But
and I fell foul of that recently. So when I shared, what I actually said was, I haven't fact-checked this yet, because I knew somebody would come back and tell me whether it was true or not.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, so I took it down.
Right. but you know, to my mind, that's fair enough. You know, we can't be right about everything. It's basically what you were saying earlier, Joanna, about putting your hand up in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A lot of people get nervous about that, because if you get it wrong, everybody goes, ah, you go, well done, you know, it was just a guess.
Yeah.
Or that's what I thought, or that's what what made sense to me.
But that's what people don't do. They present their ideas and their opinions as though it's a fundamental truth.
Yeah.
So what we miss out is that preframe that says, in my view, this, yeah. or in my opinion, this. But yeah. they present it as though it's
an absolute cast-iron fact. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And it's one of the reasons why I'm running a couple of masterclasses around assertiveness for introverts, a couple next week, actually, just free masterclasses, because there's been so much on around at the moment about bullying and how it's the norm in business. Mm. And so some of the people who are slightly more nervous and maybe quieter then start to worry about, well, if I'm assertive, is that going to come across as aggressive? So then they start to panic. So it's really important that what we do is help people understand what true assertiveness is, so that they're neither being passive nor aggressive, or the middle ground, which is actually passive aggressive, which is even worse, because that's that kind of sarcastic, thing that where people feel attacked and yet the words and the music seemed all right. So we need to make sure that people know what assertiveness is and that they can stand up for their rights and needs whilst respecting the rights and needs of others.
Especially difficult for women in business, because we'll always have the stereotype of, oh, she's bossy, or, you know, she's a bossy woman, or that. Yeah. It's very difficult, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I watch my daughter. She's head of about three big teams of 25, three lots of 25s. And she gets up at 4:10 in the morning to go to the gym, and then she walks to work.
Wow.
And, like, she's totally motivated. And I often worry that she will burn out, you know. But her team absolutely love her. And she's a tough cookie, you know.
Natalie's tweeted again, I was just about to write that, Joanna, she says. That's why I relate to Ken Robinson. To understand, we need to find our element to flourish.
Yeah.
She said, you really must read his book. You love it.
Thank you. Yeah. I will do. On my list.
Martin Reeves has tweeted, apologies, just got home, so we'll listen on catch up. Had a challenging Tuesday as the van didn't show up for a second time and clearing my mum's house. Thanks, any van. Then got stuck on the M20 due to a crash. Always someone worse off than me. So, yeah, thank you for that, Martin, and hope your day gets better and you catch up later. Sarah Marsh Collins, who is in the Queen Elizabeth Hospital with us on the radio, she says, so interesting listening to Joanne Relburn. As an extrovert, I'm conscious of just how draining I am for introverts.
Yes, thank you.
But then sometimes I do just need some time alone. Can you get introverted extroverts?
Yes, you can. So on my website, which is flourishingintroverts.com, there's a questionnaire you can take. Now, what that does, it will only help people understand what type of introvert you are. I have been talking about doing the extrovert version of it. Maybe I need to. But
yeah, you do.
In the same way that you can get extroverted introverts, you can get introverted extroverts too. So, you know, as Paul said at the beginning, it is a kind of continuum, in that we are never one thing all of the time. And, you know, there are shades of this. So there are some people who are classic introverts. There are some people who are classic extroverts. But many of us are actually introvert with extrovert tendencies or extrovert with introvert tendencies.
That makes sense. Because, like, I often find myself rushing dinner. And my new husband say, why are you wolfing? You know, why are you ruining? I say, because I need an evening.
Right.
It's very important to me that I get dinner out the way. I get the blimmin' dishwasher done, so that I have what I call an evening, which is just time to walk the dog or watch a bit of a period drama or read or play music, you know. And when you're busy, that meal time takes time, doesn't it? Cooking and eating and then clearing away.
And one of the things that many of us, especially women and especially introverted women, don't do is prioritise self-care. Because it feels somewhat selfish. But, you know, I always use the analogy of on the plane, where they say, apply your own oxygen mask first, then look after, you know, somebody else. And the same thing happens. If I'm resourced, if I'm energized, if I'm replenished, I then have capacity to work and support other people.
Yeah.
But if I do that first, then all I'm doing is depleting myself to the point of burnout, and that's not good. So let's prioritize self-care and that recharging activity, time, whatever it is we need.
Self-care is, especially for women, as you say, because we're brought up to be carers often, not all, but often. So you know, it'll often be the woman that sees that a child's nappy needs changing, or even the dog left with my new husband.
The dog's nappy needs changing?
No, but, you know.
Well, then you wouldn't have to cut your grass, would you?
I'll often say, you know, don't forget she has a chew about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, little things, you know.
Mm.
Check she's got water. Just basic stuff.
Mm.
But I don't know why some men don't know these things. But
well, they probably do, but you get in there before they can do it.
Yeah. Maybe.
Hmm.
Well, there's also the thing, actually, about we have to be careful not to create dependency. And the same applies in business and management, in that if I always give people the answers, then they kind of get lazy and just rely on me then giving them the answers. So we need to help people become independent and interdependent and kind of cut loose the dependency.
Do you know, that is an incredibly important point. I did a workshop last week for some people that had certain issues, we won't go into it further than that. And I did a workshop on employment. And I was talking about different types of employment. And all they were doing was moaning about it. Yeah, oh, you know, look, I don't get enough of this and I'm not paid enough. And eventually I said, look, hold on, let's stop there. Who made the choice to do this job? Yeah, well, I go, you're going to tell me it was the only job you had available, isn't it? And I go, yeah. I said, well, I've just shown you it isn't. Yeah. At some point, if you take responsibility for yourself, you can solve a lot of the problems you see. You know, because one of the people was saying, you know, well, I've got a zero-hour contract and they don't give me enough hours. I go, well, why don't you apply for a permanent job somewhere? No, but I like this one. Well, either you do or you don't.
I've just recorded a podcast episode on almost exactly that, about, you know, if you're not prepared to make changes, then you have no right to keep complaining.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, one or the other, but not both.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's about taking responsibility for your own well-being and going, this doesn't suit me, I need to do something else.
It was okay as an interim, but while I'm doing it, I'm looking for something that suits me better.
Yeah, exactly. Joannette, fascinating as always talking to you. Thank you so much for that. We hope and know that you'll have fantastic fun on your retreat.
We will do.
Are you going to be doing some wild swimming?
Yes, I think I am, actually.
Okay, watch the drones.
Yes. I'm also wearing those little shoes because I don't like the squelchy stuff at the bottom of the pond.
Jelly shoes. Are you wearing jelly shoes?
I love jellies. Yeah.
We used to have those as kids at the beach.
Yeah, exactly.
Joanna, thank you so much. Give us a shout out again for your website so that people can find out more about Flourishing Introverts.
It's flourishingintroverts.com and everything's there. My TV show, my website, my podcast, my articles, everything is in there. And some free downloadables for people, like Raising an Introvert Child or Mastering Meetings. Everything is there as free downloadables.
Fantastic. So do check that out. Whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, just check it out. Joanna, thank you so much.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure again.
We've got a few minutes left of the show and some stuff to catch up on.
And Kent Creative have said, this is a book I've read actually years ago, there's also the idea of fear, they say. So feel the fear and do it anyway, right?
Yeah.
It's a book I read years and years
Susan
ago.
Susan Jeffers.
Yeah, I must dig it out. I think it's in my loft.
Yeah.
From when we moved. Yeah. Good book.
Okay. We're going to catch up on some bits and pieces. The Gravesham Business Awards are now open. They're open to all businesses in the Gravesham Borough area. This is a great opportunity to promote your business and get the recognition you deserve. This year, there are more categories than ever for businesses to consider. They reflect the great diversity and entrepreneurship of the Gravesham business community. The earlier you apply, the more chance your business has of being considered for the community-driven awards where your customers will vote for you. A full list of the categories can be found along with the online application form by going to gravesham business awards.co.uk.
Workers have finally left a huge office block after plans to turn it into flats were given the green light. The building's owners, Telereal Trillium, there's a name, isn't it? Telereal Trillium. It sounds like bird food, doesn't it?
I thought it was a character from the restaurant from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. wasn't one of the characters called Trillium?
I have never read that.
Have you not? No, you should. It's funny.
Is it a film as well, or just
film, radio show, TV program,
theme tune? No, I haven't. But it sounds to me like bird food. Telereal Trillium. want to transfer Beckett House in the new Dover Road, mm-hmm. Canterbury, into a residential complex. Great idea, because a lot of these offices are empty.
It used to be a BT call centre.
Yeah, well,
I used to work there.
Oh, yes, did you?
Yeah. Well, my daughter, Sydney Robson, used to work there.
Oh.
And that's how she's gone from there to Bionic now.
Yeah,
She was there, because they've closed it all and they're all redundant, I guess.
They moved them to another call centre, the people who were there. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, so that's on the Beckett House. The site housed the BT call centre, as Paul said, but all staff have now left the building. Hope they have. Telereal Trillium launched a proposal in 2017 to turn the prominent site into 118 homes.
Yeah, it's a big site.
Wow, that's big. 2017, why has it taken all that time?
Planning.
Blimey, that's bonkers.
Mm.
I'm just taking a photo of that to send to my daughter. So what else have we got? We've got a historic town centre pub has reopened
under
a new name in a bid to give it a fresh start. Andrew and Sinead Dixon took over the former William Caxton pub in Tenterden, just for you, 6 months ago, and have carried out a major refurbishment. The couple, who previously run Airbnbs but have never taken on a pub, have renamed the site the Print House. Mr. Dixon says they've kept the theme of William Caxton, who some believe was born in the town, throughout the venue. He said he was the first person to bring the printing press into the country, and he came from Tenterden. So we've kept the theme of the print by calling it the Print House. Six ensuite bedrooms, all with names associated with print, such as the copywriter's room and the proofing room. We have a restaurant for 40 covers and offer fresh British cuisine. That sounds good, Paul Andrews.
Yeah.
Have you eaten there?
I haven't. It's only been open a couple of weeks. It looks good. They've spent a lot of time and money doing it up. I was just going to be all nerdy about William Caxton.
Oh, go on.
Well, a lot of people say that he invented type. He didn't. Gutenberg invented type. What William Caxton did was invent movable type, which is slightly different. Am I boring you, dear?
No.
She's yawning at me.
I didn't have a lot of sleep over the weekend.
She's yawning at me. I'm boring her.
Don't get her husband's home now. So.
Yeah. That's what it is. She's been up all night, hasn't she?
Okay, so that's your nerdy...
That's my nerdy bit, but it's now called the Print Room. It's at West Cross. It's on the... it's basically the last place as you leave Tenterton on the left-hand side, going towards
Rotherdon. No doubt you'll be dipping in with the missus to try it out.
We may well. We may well go and try it.
And it's got 40 covers, so that's quite a decent size.
It's an interesting place, and as I say, they've spent a lot of money doing it up.
Yeah, and they've obviously got the Airbnb experience, so that's quite
good. Well, it's got rooms as well. It's got hotel rooms.
I read that. Six. Yeah. To be precise.
Yeah, exactly.
Ensuite.
Yeah.
There's a Christmas email here. I can't read that.
No.
But it's got something about Christmas in
there. What's it say then?
Well, it just gives me the heebie-jeebies. I've only just recovered. Crackers away from last year.
I don't recall no Christmas.
Further to the success of the Christmas competition.
Oh, for goodness sake.
We have organised. It's just when I saw it, I had...
You saw the word Christmas and got the heebie-jeebies, didn't you?
Every year I say I'm going away, and I never do.
Right, but you've got to be quick, because we're almost at the end of the show, and you've got to read all that out.
No, it's very long.
Yeah, we'll read it.
Further to the success of the Christmas competitions, we have organised over the last 3 years, Tenterden and District Chamber of Commerce organise the competition again to coincide with the King's coronation in May.
Yeah.
It's actually my new husband's birthday as well.
Is it?
Massive congratulations to all the winners. It was a hard decision for the Mayor of Tenterden, Councillor John Crawford. He said the creativity and talent has been incredible, da-di-da. First place went to Webbs of Tenterden.
It was a window display competition, is what it was. So I just thought I'd better let you know that.
Yeah. And the second place went to Hop, Stitch and Jumper.
Right.
What's that shop? Jumper shop?
No. See if you can guess.
Knitting?
Yeah. Well, it's sewing and knitting. And
jumpers.
It's a craft shop.
Long scarf.
Yeah.
That go on forever.
Yeah.
And ABS Blinds was third place.
Do you know what they do?
Help spectacles.
No, they sell white sticks and guide dogs.
Runners up were Hair at 15 and 2 and 6 Sweets. That sweetie shop.
Yeah.
Do they have it all in glass jars?
Yeah.
Oh,
they do.
Yeah, bonbons.
Yeah.
And those stripy things.
Yeah.
Square humbug things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like them. So prizes include an assortment of gift vouchers, which I would have liked all of them, because Gusbourne, lovely wine, Silcox, Little Silver, that's the hotel opposite you go to in your dressing gown, WUD Tenterden.
Wood, it's a men's clothing shop.
Men's clothing. And Garden Restaurant. So lovely, lovely gift vouchers. Well done, everybody that won. And it's coinciding with the King's coronation and my new husband's birthday.
Absolutely. You've got 2 minutes in which you could read something else if you really want.
Bye Bye Baby to open Leeds Castle Concert. It's a jaw-dropping tribute to the musical phenomenon Jersey Boys, sharing the timeless iconic music of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. It's on the 8th of July, and there's a website which is leedscastleconcert.co.uk. If you purchase 10 or more tickets, you'll receive a 10% discount. Paul Andrews.
Cool. Tunbridge and Morling District Council have announced some business grants. They've opened their next round of business grants and the application is closed on the 31st of May. Grants of up to £8,000 to fund up to 40% of business development initiatives are available, and the grant is open to Tunbridge and Morling Borough and Sevenoaks District businesses in the low carbon renewable energy sector. It will help build short term resilience and provide the foundations for future growth. If you want to find out more, if you go to tmbc.gov.uk/business-apply-green-business-grant. That's tmbc.gov.uk/business-apply-green-business-grant.
Very well. And we've got another bank holiday next Monday.
And another one at the end of the month as well.
So expect more shambolic vagueness.
Yeah.
From more me. Liquid lunches.
Yeah, and also new husband's birthday. I've got to make him a beef Wellington. That's a huge thing. It's his favourite meal.
Mm. Oh, is it?
I tried to get my usual chef, Graham Green, to make it. He made it last year.
Is he in Australia?
No, he's back now. He's in Dover, but he says he can't do it for various reasons. And so I've got to do it. So I've just texted my friend, Chef Rob Allsworth, and he's going to phone me at 4 o'clock and run me through how to do it. I'd rather go out, really.
Can't you buy one? Can't you buy one ready-made?
No, it's a sign of love, isn't it? We make him.
Well, you just tell him. You just
make
lie.
Pastry.
You just tell him I made that. You wipe your brow, put some flour down the front of your apron, and go, I just made this for you, love.
I call Harry Covert.
Yeah, yeah.
Friends in high places.
Absolutely. Yeah. Harry will make one for you.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, we've reached the end of another show.
We have.
I want to say a huge thank you to our fantastic guest, Joanna Rawbone.
It was a pleasure being here. Thank you.
Flourishing introverts. Thank you so much, Joanna. To my stonkingly gorgeous co-host, the lovely Jill Serkin. But most of all, to all of our listeners and the people that tweeted, emailed and joined in with the show. Thank you so much. Sending our best wishes to Sarah Marsh Collins and her dad.
And her mum.
And her mum.
And a dog.
And a dog.
Who's been on cannabis.
Yeah. Yeah. Weed the dog. Have a great week, everybody, although it's a short week and a short week the week after as well.
Yeah.
We'll be back with another show next week. In the meantime, thank you so much, and we'll see you all soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.